B-Pod Studios.
All right, it is 4 o'clock on the Mike Missanelli show, and we are about to break for a live press conference involving a new catcher, JT Realmuto, meeting with the press in Clearwater. Reminder that the 4 o'clock hour is brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise, online at landisbc.com. Manager Gabe Kapler and GM Matt Klentak also involved. Let's go to NBC Sports Philadelphia's live coverage of JT Realmuto's press conference.
We'll get to on the radio side in just 1 second.
TV is ahead of us. Okay,
yeah.
I thought we were leading right to the TV.
TV's slightly ahead of us. So,
All right,
we always have to fill it a little.
Oh, okay.
This is a little behind the scenes thing.
Yeah, a little behind the scenes thing.
It's
actually being shown on TV right now.
It is right now.
Now we'll go to the JT Realmuto.
With us today
is
the Phillies family welcomes JT Realmuto and his family. This is a great day for us, and we just had a chance to meet JT's lovely wife, Alexis, and Gracie there is taking it all in. So welcome you guys. Also, as you can see, Matt and Gabe are here, and also JT's representatives with CAA. Matt, why don't you get us underway?
Thanks, Scott. I addressed this a little bit the other day on the conference call, but in acquiring JT Realmuto, we believe that we've acquired the best catcher in baseball, and that makes everybody in this organization incredibly excited. We have a bunch of players in the room, a bunch of our coaches, and I know from top to bottom we are just thrilled to add JT to our club, not only for what he brings to us on the field, but also what we've heard about him as a teammate and as a leader and what he can bring to our club off the field. So we're thrilled to have him, and I am privileged to present him with his official jersey, uniform number 10.
And with that, we'll open it up for questions for JT. We're usually not this shy around Philadelphia, JT. That's what I'll tell you. Sure.
JT, what was your, coming from the outside, your original opinion or viewpoint of the Phillies? And having a chance to work out with them right now, what is your viewpoint on the culture since you've gotten here?
I've never had anything but positive thoughts about the Phillies organization. Playing against them for the last 4 or 5 years, it's always been an organization that's been very storied, and anybody that I've talked to that's played here in the past has been nothing but proud. And all the teammates that I've reached out to that have played here before gave me nothing but good things to say about it. So it's definitely an organization that I'm proud to play for, and I'm happy to be here.
Bobby?
JT, welcome to Philly. Talking about the history here, you're wearing number 10, which is a pretty special number in this city. Are you aware of some of the other guys who have worn that number?
I'm aware of some of them, not all of them. I believe when I was given the choices of numbers, I only had three options. So I had between like 10, 38, and 39. So when I chose the number, I did not know all the players that had the number now.
Why did you choose 10 then?
Just liked it better than 38 and 39. Those aren't exactly appealing numbers for me.
Todd.
JT, a lot of talk basically since the end of last season about when you would be traded. What was the entire offseason like, and to finally have that trigger pulled and finally get that trade you've been kind of expecting?
Yeah, it was definitely a different offseason for me. Me and my wife, we've definitely spent more time on social media than we ever have in our lives, trying to find out if anybody knows any scoop that we didn't know, So it was a little stressful, a little different for us, but we're definitely happy with the outcome, and it all worked out in God's timing, and we're happy with it.
John? Oh, I'm sorry, Jimmy.
JT, could you describe what it's like to hit in Marlins Park, to really square one up and see it kind of die in the center fielder's glove, and, playing off that, what you think coming to Citizens Bank Park will do for you as an offensive player?
Yeah, it's definitely tough. I mean, I can count too many times that I felt like I crushed the ball in Marlins Park only to watch Odubel Herrera dive in center field and catch it at the wall, you know. So it'll be nice to get out of there. And not that Citizens Bank Park is any slouch, you know. You still have to hit the ball well, but it'll be nice knowing that if you get a ball, you have a good chance to get it out. And in Marlins Park, sometimes you felt like you got all of it and you were flying out to center field, not even getting a double out of it. You were running back to the dugout, so it'll be nice to not have that situation.
John. To double up on that, I believe 13 of your 21 homers last year were on the road, and I think 37 out of your 59 career homers are on the road, and hitting over 300 on the road in your career. How much more comfortable were you on the road, and does that lead you to believe you're going to have a lot of success in a ballpark like Citizens Bank?
I do think it'll help. I feel like some of my issues in Marlins Park were the fact that I knew the park was so big, and sometimes maybe I tried to do too much, tried to get out of my strengths and, you know, muscle up and try to hit the ball too far, which obviously over time can really create problems. So I think just being able to play in a park that's more hitter friendly will give me more confidence and be able to try to not do too much and just take things as they come, and that'll help me out tremendously.
Ricky? JT, you've hit against a bunch of these arms, a lot of great young arms on this pitching staff. You're looking forward to working with these guys and just handling this pitching staff, have you studied it, looking forward to it?
I've definitely studied all of them multiple times just from facing them, so it'll be a lot of fun to get to work with these guys. There's a lot of great arms on this team, a lot of young, electric stuff, guys that are getting better, you know. From top to bottom, this entire starting rotation they all have quality plus stuff, and they've all gotten better with time. You know, 2 years ago, they were young guys coming up to the big leagues. In the last 2 years, they've all drastically improved. So I look forward to try to help mold them and help continue their improvement and get to work with them.
Jeff?
JT, when the Phillies make a big trade for you, bring you in here in a big deal like this, and then guys like Matt Klentak say you're the best catcher in baseball, do you feel extra pressure to having to succeed here in Philadelphia now?
Not necessarily pressure, no. I'm more excited than anything just to get to prove myself, you know. It's definitely playing on a little different stage here with the fan base that we have in Philadelphia. So I'm looking forward to the challenge, but I don't necessarily see pressure with it. It's just a game, you know. I got to go out there and try to help my teammates win, and that's what it's all about.
And can I just follow up? When you look at this roster that this team has assembled this offseason, how excited are you at the possibilities of what this team can do in this division?
Very excited. I mean, this was a great ball club last year. Obviously, they fizzled out a little bit at the end, but that comes with a young club. And the additions that we made this offseason, I feel like we have a lot of things to prove this season, and I think we're going to prove them.
Bob?
I know you just got here, but is there any part of you that thinks about maybe being here long-term? I know you're here for at least 2 years, but long-term, did that thought cross your mind at all as soon as this was done?
Honestly, no. I haven't even had the chance to think about that yet. This whole last week has gone by so fast. It's been so hectic. I haven't quite had the opportunity to think about that, but from everything I've heard about this organization, I'm sure I'll see for myself. But I've heard nothing but amazing things about it, so we'll see about that in the future.
John?
I believe you played some shortstop in high school, right?
Back in the day, yes.
You played a quarterback
yes.
in high school?
Yes.
You're a pretty unique catcher. I mean, I believe you've led the league in stolen bases as a catcher, most stolen bases as a catcher over the last 6 years. So, do you think playing a lot of different sports and the unique skill set that you bring from each has helped you be a more athletic catcher in some of your skills with that position?
Yeah, I think so. I just think not catching my whole life honestly kept me pretty young, kept me more athletic, you know. A lot of times guys start catching when they're 6 years old and they've got a lot of wear and tear on their body by the time they get up. But for me, just being able to play multiple sports, keep my body moving, try to stay as athletic as I can, I definitely think that's helped me.
Matt?
JT, you've been billed by Matt as the best catcher in baseball. If there's one area in your game, though, where you think you want to improve in 2019, where is it?
There's a lot of areas in my game that I want to improve. But just defensively, really the whole aspect of catching is catcher-pitcher relationship. And for me, especially being on a new team, it's extremely important for me to get to know these guys in a hurry and build that relationship with them to where they can trust me. And that's what I'm looking forward to most in spring training, is just building that relationship with my pitchers.
Jeff?
JT, you said you were looking at social media and
MLB trade rumors, I imagine. Was there any point at this offseason where you thought you might have been dealt or something was getting close or the Marlins told you, hey, something might happen here?
There were multiple points to where I thought it was close. You know, I'd not just so much social media. I had people that would text me, you know, reporters that I was friends with in Miami would text me and say, hey, keep your phone on you. Something might happen tonight, you know. And that probably happened 3 or 4 times with absolutely nothing happening. So that got a little exhausting, you know. But like I said, once all that passed and the trade went through, nothing but excitement from this end.
Okay, Matt.
Or Gabe, where it seems like he could hit anywhere in the lineup. Where do you think JT fits in your lineup, and where? How many different places do you think you could use him in your lineup?
Yeah, I think JT can hit in a lot of different places in the lineup, and the answer to that question is we don't know. But the one thing we do know is that he can hit right in the heart of our lineup. And one of the things that we noticed from across the field with JT is you can't bring a right-handed slider in. Slider got to get him out. He does a really good job against that profile. So 2, 3, 4, 5, anywhere in that neighborhood, he's so athletic, he can hit anywhere in the lineup. Matt?
Matt, you talk a lot this winter about guys that post every day, and how impressive is it that JP put up good numbers, played, you know, a lot for a team that plays in front of empty ballparks a lot, or was training away a lot of good players around him, and that he still was able to, you know, put up his own high-quality numbers?
Yeah, I don't think it's any secret that we, you know, value guys that can play regularly, play every day, and post, like you said, Matt. And I think that it's very rare when you find a catcher that can do that, because of the wear and tear that the position takes on their body and the foul tips that they take off the thumb and everything else. And when you have a guy like this who, as Cap said, is as athletic as anybody in the league and as strong as anybody in the league, and who has the mentality that he's going to be out there every damn day, that is incredibly appealing to, you know, to us as the acquiring team here.
Jeff? Matt, I think on the conference call you said that, you know, a move like this won't stop you guys from, you know, making another move, bringing in another free agent. Have you talked to guys like JT and other players about, you know, still trying to get Manny and still trying to get Bryce and things like that to make this team even stronger?
I haven't talked to him about it. No. I mean, I've been down here for, you know, 48 hours, not even. So when I see the guys in the clubhouse, sometimes that comes up. I think what I said on the call the other day was this acquisition doesn't preclude us from continuing to play the free agent or trade markets. And, you know, I think that's kind of the case all the time. I mean, we're always looking for opportunities. There are certainly times of the year where there seems to be more activity, you know, the offseason being one, the trade deadline being another. But, you know, we know that there are still some pretty good free agents out there, and we're going to continue to have those discussions, because if there's an opportunity that makes sense for us, we'd like to pursue it.
Jeff?
I know you haven't talked about this with Matt, JT, but last year at the trade deadline, Bryce Harper said, why can't we go get a guy like that about you? Do you think the same about him at this point?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. Anybody would love to have a guy like that on your team. Like Matt said, I mean, there's a time and a place for that discussion. I haven't quite been involved in those discussions, like he mentioned, because I haven't been here very long, you know. So, but I would definitely love to have a player like that on this team.
Up.
To follow up on Matt's question from the back, Gabe, what do you think the ideal number of games for JT is? And JT, what do you feel like is ideal?
From my perspective, it's kind of what JT's career has been thus far, right? Like, trying to strike that balance between keeping him healthy and strong, and then also making sure that he's in the lineup as much as possible, because he makes us a better team every night, gives us our best chance to win. So in the past, JT has racked up 500-plus plate appearances. We see that happening again this year. And obviously, JT and I are going to spend some time talking about how we can put him in the best position to succeed.
For me, I want to catch 162. But, yeah, I know that's probably not going to happen. I trust Gabe. You know, I mean, we'll have conversations about that, and he'll see how I feel. And for me, it's just about staying healthy and staying strong. It's a long season. It's grueling, especially behind the plate. So there's not really a magic number. It's just you can kind of go about it. You see how you feel, and I trust him to make the right decisions.
You got traded on Thursday, I think. When did you get here?
Friday. So
okay.
My wife and I already had the truck packed up. We were ready to go. We just didn't know if we were driving to Arizona or Jupiter or Clearwater, you know. So as soon as we got the call, we left that night. Our agent, Matt, actually found us a place. We were in our condo Friday by 5 o'clock. So we got here.
And where do you live in the offseason?
Oklahoma City.
Okay. So either same drive, either
that's
way.
That's what, yeah, much. We didn't want to head to Florida and then get traded to Arizona.
So the car was literally packed? I mean, you was ready, like, basically ready to go, and you're just kind of waiting for the
hush? I shouldn't say the car. The bags were packed.
Bags were packed.
We just had to throw everything in the truck, throw the dog in the truck, and we hit the road.
Okay.
Jim?
You had mentioned you were following this drama on social media. Did when it indeed turned out to be the Phillies, were you a little surprised that it was them? Because, you know, midwinter, they weren't mentioned as the prominent team. There were so many teams mentioned, and it just seemed like other teams were getting mentioned in front of the Phillies. When you heard it was the Phillies, were you surprised?
Not necessarily surprised, no. Every time I had a conversation with somebody over the winter, and they asked me, you know, where do you think you're going? My answer was always, I have no idea. Anything you're reading online doesn't mean anything until I get a phone call. And almost always in these scenarios, in these big trades, a team comes out of nowhere in the end that hasn't been talked about the whole time, you know. So I wasn't necessarily surprised. And also, starting earlier in the week, I'd started hearing some rumblings about Philadelphia, and I wasn't surprised in any way by it, no.
Ricky? JT, after watching your teammates like Yelich, Stanton, Osuna really blossom when they got traded, do you look at this as your chance to be the best JT Realmuto you can be? You can hit your ceiling here in this uniform?
I haven't really thought about it in that regard, no. In all honesty, I'm just excited to play for a team that has a chance to win a championship. That's all I'm really focusing on. If that takes me to my next level and I'm the best player I've ever been, I'm all for it. But for me, the goal here is to win a championship. I'm not necessarily thinking about how good I'm going to be this year. I'm thinking about how good our team's going to be.
John?
Matt mentioned that one of the guys that maybe was given a good pitch to him about you coming here was Rhys Hoskins, having been on the trip with him to Japan. What did you think of Rhys and maybe what you talked about and what kind of a young core they have building here in Philadelphia?
Hey, you know, it was funny, the whole Japan trip, he was talking to me about Philadelphia and how much fun I would have over here. And at the time, you know, I wasn't really thinking too much about it, but looking back on it, he was right, you know, and he was obviously a great teammate for me in Japan. We had a lot of fun together. He's exactly what you're looking for in a teammate. I mean, he's a hard worker, he's a great player, he's a good guy. So I enjoyed my time with him in Japan. I'm going to enjoy playing with him this season.
Who have you caught so far in workouts?
Nola. I've only caught one bullpen. It's been Nola. Actually, caught Velasquez today in a side. It wasn't a pin, but caught him in a little side. But I obviously know both of them very well from facing him. I'm just glad I get to catch him this year instead of hit him.
Bob?
Just kind of two questions here. But you mentioned Nola. Did you ever talk to his brother about him? And I don't remember what
actually, I played with his brother for 2 years in the minor leagues back when Nola Aaron was getting drafted, so got to talk to him quite a bit back then, but I haven't spoken to him in a year or two, so I haven't really got to talk to him about it, no.
I do remember that. The other question was, how difficult was it, especially last year, watching those guys Rick mentioned leave your team and knowing going into the season, you know, the chances of being in contention weren't very good. How difficult was it to go through that season, and how refreshing is it to have something different going into this season?
It's tough, you know. The baseball season's extremely long and tough, and it makes it quite a bit tougher when you're not necessarily playing for an end result. So starting in May, June, July, you're already thinking about your vacation October 5th, you know, which is no fun because you want to be playing August to September, you want to be playing for something. And so it was definitely tough for me to I don't want to necessarily call them meaningless games, but you're not playing for a playoff spot in those late months. And for me, that's what I'm most excited about being here with the Phillies, is just that chance to contend and that chance to play meaningful games late in the season.
Yes, Jeff.
JT, can you run me through what the timeline was like the day you found out about the trade? I think you found out about 1 o'clock Central Time or so, probably. Can you take me through the next 24 hours, what that was like?
Yeah, so we found out. I was at lunch with my wife, my mother, my brother. Ended up getting the call from Mike and Derek. And then Matt called me shortly after. ate lunch, left, went home, got our stuff ready. Had to go to the gym, get one last workout in before heading to spring. And then I went home, packed up, got everything packed, went and had dinner with my grandparents, say goodbye to the family and everything. Then we hit the road that night, drove through the night, got here the next day, and moved in our place. That was it.
How many hours on the road
was that? All right, that's JT Realmuto. It started to get a little long there, so we bailed out. It's still on the TV side, but we're back on the radio side. Here's the one thing. I was looking up some numbers, JT Realmuto, and he's got this crazy athletic background, and his parents and his uncle. He was a, as it was said in the press conference, baseball starter as a freshman, but he also played quarterback for the football team, and he played power forward for the basketball team. Now, here's a mind-boggling stat in baseball. In 2010, I guess he was a senior, he set a national high school record with 119 runs batted in 42 games for the baseball team.
Huh?
That's unbelievable. 119 RBIs. He hit .595 with 28 home runs and 78 runs scored. That's a mind-boggling statistic. And his background, and I heard this somewhere. I know this guy. I'm not a wrestling fan, but I've heard of this guy, John Smith.
Okay.
He was like a world champion wrestler for Oklahoma State. That's his uncle.
Really?
Yes. He's the head coach now at Oklahoma State.
So it's all.
He was like an American hero, this John Smith dude.
So look
in wrestling.
So this bloodline is insane.
Yeah, he's got a bloodline. Oklahoma bloodline, brother.
Yeah, Oklahoma. He still lives in Oklahoma State.
Yes. All right, let's go to the phones. We got coming up with a love sex medley at 4:30. We have Jerry in Hellertown. What's up, Jerry?
How you doing, Michael?
What's going on, man?
First time in decades.
Been
I guess.
A while, yeah.
First of all, with that press conference, I was a little troubled by Kapler saying that if the Phillies get Machado and Harper, he intends to platoon them out of the seventh hole.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that's definitely not going to happen.
All right. But the other thing I wanted to say is I have a Celtic who I've always hated.
Uh-huh.
And the odd thing about it is the man had no talent. He had literally no talent. His talent level made Furkan Korkmaz look like Dominique Wilkins. Okay,
who's that?
All this guy did was wave a towel and run his mouth.
ML Carr.
Guard at you. ML Carr.
ML Carr. He's definitely on my list.
And the thing is, back in the day, like 82, 83, my brother and I are at a Sixers-Celtics game. It's pregame. The Celtics are in the layup drill, warming up. And we were not like, courtside. We were about 10, 15 rows up. I was giving ML Carr my opinion of his talent level. And literally, Larry Bird had to restrain him from coming up into the stands at me. It was the brightest moment of my Sixers career. Larry Bird had to pull him back in the line.
Yeah, that's awesome. That happened to me when I was a kid with Pedro Borbón, a pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds. He actually came after me. I'll tell the story a little later. Jerry, good hearing from you, brother.
My pleasure, Michael. Real quick, I'm really excited about the Sixers because when the playoffs start and the game slows down and every possession matters, they're going to have so many options, it's going to be sick.
Yeah,
so
it really is. Psyched. I am psyched, too.
You're the best, Michael.
Thanks, Jerry. There he is. So the Valentine's Day package is coming up at 4:30, which will be fun. We're back on the TV side, by the way, on NBC Sports Philadelphia. We bailed out like one question before the end of that press conference. So if you didn't hear it on TV, but JT Realmuto, he set a national high school record with 119 runs batted in high school, 42 games. So that's a lot of games for high school in Oklahoma. The weather can permit you to play 42 games, but that's still amazing. That's like 3 RBIs a game.
How many? How many?
119.
Yeah, it's like 3 every game.
Like 3 a game.
That's unbelievable.
It really is. All right, we're back after this. Love Sex Medley, your phone calls, NBC Sports Philly, 97.5 to Fanatic. Back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Oh! right, it's 4:30 on the Mike Mussinelli Show, and you know, this week at 4:30, every day, 4:30, we're going to be doing our Valentine's Day Love Sex Music Medley. Big stakes here. Now, there are three songs strung together in 3 seconds. Each song will reference either love or sex. You guess the song, and you have to guess the artist of the song. You'll win a gold dip rose from Steven Singer Jewelers. And then on Friday, we'll have 5 daily winners. We'll pick a grand prize for somebody. Grand prize includes a $500 physique barbecue fire pit from Landis Block. Visit them at landisbc.com. An angel heart diamond necklace. See it exclusively at ihatestevensinger.com, and you'll get free shipping. A pair of tickets to see Billy Joel at Citizens Bank Park. May 24th, tickets are available at ticketmaster.com. $150 gift card to Jasper's Backyard in Conshohocken. Visit them online at jaspersbackyard.com and at Chauffeur Rolls Royce for a night, courtesy of Imagine Lifestyles Luxury Rentals for people who are hard to shop for. Visit ImagineLifestyles.com. All right. You have to call the contest line for your guesses. 215-263-0975. That's 215-263-0975. Are we ready for today's song medley? All right, let's kick it. Love. All right, there it was. These are impossible for me to get, I'm telling you right now. Let's play it one more time for the peep. Love. That is awesome.
The first and the third.
Well, the first and the third have the name. I heard blood, I heard sex. Right? Did that what I heard? Maybe I didn't.
Yeah.
All right. So I have no idea, though. I'm stumped. So good luck to you. 215-263-0975.
I'm going to play it just one more time.
Play it one more time? All right, let's go one more time. Love. My first song said love. I don't know. I'm confused. All right, Tom in Orwigsburg. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Tom?
Hey, listen, I got the perfect deadline for Tyrone's MLB free agency.
What's that?
It has to be March 14th.
Well, why is that?
Because I'm going down to Clearwater on March 15th.
Oh, well, see, we're going down to 7th, so our deadline's a little sooner than that.
Yeah.
I'd love to get Bryce Harper on the air.
Hey, listen, any respectable Philly fan would be satisfied already with the free agents and the trades that they had over the winter. Now
that's
that these
not
two
true.
Guys are available, yes, it is.
No, it's not true. They can't.
Oh, God.
No, what the Phillies?
Hey, listen, I love Harper.
JT Realmuto is a good player. He doesn't put them over the top.
No, not over the top. I'm one of these guys that, you know, hoping for Trout in a couple of years.
Yeah, well, forget about that. But right now, you're excited about the Phillies right now without them adding Harper or Machado?
Yeah.
Well, listen, they're not a bad team. They're not a winning team.
Right.
They need these guys to really clinch it.
Yeah.
By the way, Orwigsburg. I play with a guy in Penn State baseball named Orwig. Is the name after his family?
No, right. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, right. I think they're going to be a good team to watch this year.
Okay, you got it. Now, they're going to be a nice team to watch. They still don't have a 3-4-5. They get a bullpen that looks like it's better on paper, but they still don't have the crusher in the lineup that you put out there every day. Let's go to Bob in Hanover. Bob, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bob.
Hey, Mike, how you doing today?
What's up, Bobby?
Much. Getting ready to go to Hollywood Casino and spend a little money.
Attaboy. What do you play when you're there? You a slot man?
No. I'm strictly, they got a sports book, real nice one there.
Okay.
And, I was there last night.
You playing the Sixers tonight?
I got some winnings from that Nuggets game last night, and I'm a little nervous about them covering, but... I'm not there yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So,
anyway, I just want to thank the basketball guys for not putting the Celtics game on Thursday night, because that would have been a real dilemma.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day night for the Celtics.
Yeah. I got
you. Hey, this game tonight, I think you're going to see Ben Simmons go off. I think he's had this game in his head for a long, long time, and... I'm putting the monster dunks at over 2 tonight because there's no way they're going to be able to focus on him with these new additions.
See, Neil, this is a really interesting point you bring up, that they can't defend him the same way now.
Exactly. And, hey, I wanted your opinion about T.J. McConnell. Does he remind you, does he give you the annoyance factor that Danny Ainge used to give me back in the day? I mean,
I'm a Sixer guy, so he doesn't annoy me. He just, if I was another team's fan, he would probably be annoying.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
We're opposing teams. He just seems to annoy these people that.
Yeah, he's a nonstop energy little, dude that never stops and tries to dig, steal, and you know. Yeah, he's annoying.
Yeah, that's
bit of a pest factor.
Yeah, he had a nice game the other night.
He did. He got that jump shot the unwhite jumper, I call it. The unwhite jumper, where he's got his hands totally extended at the top of his head and he flicks it.
Hey, tell Tyrone to take Billy C, the Kangaroo Kid, forward.
Billy C? Let's see who he's got here. Let's get back. Oh, we do have a winner? Oh, my God. This is unbelievable. Joe Kelly from Glassboro has gotten the three songs on the Valentine's Day Love, Sex, Music Medley. Let's bring him up.
Yeah.
Joe.
Oh.
Joe, are you with us?
Yeah, is this Mikey Miss?
Joe, this is Mikey Miss.
First time, long time. What's up, Mike?
Thanks, brother. Listen, if you got this, you have my admiration. Because this was a pretty quick 3-second deal.
Yo, I got it 100%. I'm a stud, Mike.
All right. First of all, let's play it again, Tyrone, for the people that didn't hear it. 3 seconds, boom. All right, there it is. Now, what do you got? Three songs.
Taylor Swift, Bad Blood. Bon Jovi, You Give Love a Bad Name. And George Michael, I Want Your Sex.
That's unbelievable. That is correct. Congratulations, Joe. You get the Gold Dip Rose, and you qualify for the big package for Friday when we award the grand prize.
Oh, thanks. Like, my wife Claudia's going to love it so much.
All right, man, you hold on a second. That is, these people amaze me that they get this.
It's unbelievable.
They can click the song names, boom, boom, boom.
Now, just so people know, they get harder. It's going to be harder tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah, because...
It's harder?
Yeah, because the person who does the just texted me. He was mad that it happened too fast yesterday. He's mad that it took less than one segment today.
So
tomorrow's going to be even harder.
That'd be Coach Camille.
Yeah, he's not happy.
Coach Camille, assistant program director, not happy.
Not happy that people were able to get it within one segment. He wanted it to take an hour.
All right. I want you to finish this up, this team now.
All right.
So you got, now I let Tyrone pick the all-time Sixer team. I'm picking the all-time Boston team. You got Chamberlain, Barkley, Irving, Allen Iverson, Mo Cheeks as your first team.
Yeah.
You went with backup shooting guard Hal Greer over Andrew Toney. Fatal mistake.
It's not a mistake.
You went Dolph Schayes, backup power forward to Barkley.
That's because of you.
Because of me.
It should have been Moses, and then I would have had Embiid as my backup center.
You got Moses as your backup center.
Yeah, I don't like that.
That's a fine backup center. Now, I've got Russell, Bird, McHale, Pierce, Cousy. Now, my backup four is going to be KG. My backup five is Parrish. And my backup small forward is Havlicek.
Okay.
Played small forward back in the day, which leaves me Ray Allen as my backup shooting guard. And then I have a decision to make at point guard. DJ or Tiny Archibald?
I think Tiny Archibald was a better player, but I don't know if he's
DJ
better.
DJ, better defender.
Right, and he's a
but
better
But you don't have
selfie.
Andrew Toney on your team, so I don't need to worry about the defending.
Yeah, well.
I'll go DJ.
Fine.
All right, I'm going DJ. Now, you have to fill out yours. Backup, small forward, backup point guard.
Backup point guard. I am going with Ben Simmons.
All right, Ben Simmons already.
Yeah, okay.
All right, Ben Simmons.
I was looking
up
the all-time point guards.
All right.
There's not enough of them.
All right, go ahead, Ben Simmons.
And backup small forward is Billy Cunningham.
Billy C.
Yes.
I got to be honest with you, I slay you.
Well, yeah, if you don't let me get Embiid. If I have Embiid at Moses, I win.
You can't play Moses at a four.
I can't in today's game.
Dude.
You got Paul Pierce playing the two.
Andrew, I need a ruling. I need a ruling. Paul Pierce does play the two. He's played the two a lot.
Mostly three.
I mean, you also try getting Ray Allen to play forward.
I got Ray Allen in my shooting guard. I switched that up. Havlicek's my small forward.
So you got Pierce at the two? If you got Pierce at the two, you got to give Tyrone Moses.
At the four, and then I got Embiid.
All right. You know what?
Unless you put Embiid as your stretch
four. Take your damn Moses as your four. I don't care.
All right.
I still slay you.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
You got two youngins on the all-time team already.
Well, Sixers history is not as good as I thought it was when I looked at the roster.
Well,
by the way,
I guess I win on Boston.
BasketballReference.com has Moses listed as a center and power forward.
Yeah.
When was he a power forward? When?
Must have been some time in Houston.
Samson, he didn't play with Samson, did he?
Nah, that was a lot.
43 games in the ABA.
Oh,
listed as a power forward.
That's bogus, but I still slay you.
With the spirits of St. Louis.
My second team is KG, Ray Allen, Havlicek, DJ, and Parrish.
I got Ben.
Come on,
Hal Greer.
You can't.
Billy C. Moses and Embiid.
That's a weak bench.
That's a strong bench.
Ben's
strong
a matchup problem for the
Celtics. Who's going to guard Ben?
Nobody has to guard him.
Who goes for guard Embiid?
You back off him like LeBron.
Parrish can't see Embiid.
Let's take a break. 610-632-0975. On the other side, we're going to go into some stank now. Stank Sixers, stank Celtics. After this on 97.5, the Fanatic NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
1:49. We haven't done a Twitter poll update for the 4 o'clock hour yet, since we had our love sex medley. So let's update the Twitter poll with Andrew Salchunas, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Andrew.
Well, because this isn't loading, we're going to have to stall for one second.
This is the same Nat problem.
What, that happens with Natalie
happens
as well?
With Nat. All right, here we go. Loading.
Hold on. It's okay. Coming up. I'll read you the question. I at least have the question right now.
What's the question?
With Sixers versus Celtics tonight, which team do we hate the most as Philadelphia sports fans? Now we finally have the results. 75% running away with it, the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. The Penguins at 12%. The Celtics at 11%.
What? The Penguins?
And the Yankees at 2.
More than the Celtics?
I'm shocked.
Come on.
I knew Dallas was going to win, but I thought Celtics, with them playing them tonight and everything.
Well, maybe they played the Penguins yesterday. Could be fresh in their minds.
It could be the loss.
Malkin throwing sticks at people's faces.
Yeah, he clipped him good on that one.
Yeah, he's got to get suspended this time.
Well, they had a 5-minute power play. Couldn't capitalize every goal. And they had 6-on-4, a lot of it.
Yeah.
I was watching my hockey last night.
Yeah, you flattered up.
All right, so we picked the teams and on NBC Sports Philly. We have the graphic of the teams, and I hate to say it, but I picked the better team.
You did?
Yeah, I get the better team. Boston seems to have the better team when they're going with a 10. So the Sixers team, picked by Tyrone, Chamberlain, Barkley, Julius Erving, Allen Iverson, Mo Cheeks. It's a solid starting five.
Yeah.
Very good starting five. The backups, he's got Embiid backing up Chamberlain, Moses backing up Barkley. Billy C. backing up Julius Erving. Hal Greer backing up Allen Iverson, too. And Ben Simmons. So Embiid and Simmons make the second team.
But really,
of a Philadelphia franchise.
But if you take Embiid off, like we did originally when I drafted it, Dolph Schayes made the team Hall of Famer, but a back-of-the-day guy. But once you include Cousy, and I just thought it would be disrespectful not to include Hal Greer. He's the all-time leading scorer in Sixers history.
Yeah, but I would have gone Tony.
Tony had a higher upside, but he didn't have the longevity.
Listen, man, it's up to you. You pick the team. Now, here's my squad.
Yeah.
Russell, Bird, McHale, Paul Pierce, Bob Cousy. See, you gave me Paul Pierce, I give you Moses. Fair trade.
All right.
Now, I'm a little ambivalent about the Bob Cousy thing because I don't really know. I don't know the Cousy era. Right,
you know he's a Hall of Famer.
All right, so but the second team is strong. The second team starts out with DJ as the point guard, Havlicek as the small forward, Ray Allen as the two, KG is the four, Parrish is the five.
KG's such
tough
a difference.
To beat.
He's the best defensive player to ever live. I sincerely believe that he's the best defensive player to ever live. So, and you got him coming off your bench.
He's coming off my bench.
I mean,
yeah, he could beat McHale out for that spot.
Yeah, he's that good. So,
all right, let's go, Drew in Westchester. Drew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Drew.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Drew?
Hey, man, I survived the hockey game last night.
Oh, you went to the Penguanos game, huh?
Yeah, man, I took the kids for the first time.
Oh, nice. We all worked, a shame they couldn't get a W in front of the kiddies.
Yeah, the Penguins got the W. That's what we were looking
for. Oh, that's right. You're a Penguin weasel. So did you wear the jersey?
I did, Mike. I had to.
You wore a jersey? The kids wore the jersey? Did you get harassed?
I didn't. You know, that's what I actually wanted to call about. I wanted to give the Flyers fans a lot of credit, man. I thought they were really, really showed a lot of class, man. Even in, like, the bathroom areas where you can usually get a lot of trash talking going. I thought,
really?
Yeah, everyone was really cool, man. And there was actually surprisingly a lot of Penguins fans there, to be honest. So,
you mean the Flyer fans weren't gritty last night?
No, they were pretty cool. I mean, there was one girl talking trash behind us. You know, she had the truck driver mouth going, you know, especially when Malkin took that stupid penalty. I mean, that was just, that was pretty classless on his part, you know.
Yeah, it was. He did get punched in the head.
He didn't get punched in the head.
Well, I'm surprised that, who was it, Raffle? Raffle didn't get two either. So,
yeah,
5-minute power play. You got to take advantage of that, man. That 5-minute power play goes on forever.
I was worried there. Yeah, I was worried there once they got that one goal, made it 3-1.
And then they got the goal early, and I'm thinking, all right, here they come. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, no, but Murray, I mean, Matt Murray stole the show for the Penguins last night because the Flyers definitely outplayed them. I mean,
he looked pretty good last night. That's enough hockey talk for today. All right. I can't go hockey talk anymore than that, right? Especially with a Penguin fan.
Yeah, if he was a Flyers fan.
Flyers fan, I can carry on the chat.
Yeah, at least he didn't get harassed.
No, that was nice. Nice to the Flyer fans.
Good job, Flyers fan.
Absolutely. But a tough loss for the boys. All right, so in the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to continue to draft. And this is the bad Sixers or bad Celtics or annoying Celtics. Because some of these Celtics I have on my list are good players. But you're going to give me all bad Sixers.
I have so many.
And you got some good bad Sixers. Let's thank everybody watching us on TV today on NBC Sports Philly. Thanks again. We return for the 5 o'clock hour with your phone calls on the Mike Mussinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.